Good to be here again today, as it is most every Sunday, and enjoy the opportunity to share. Marty called yesterday. Those of you who were here Wednesday night know that Marty was struggling Wednesday night. He was hurting and struggling. He's not had a good week. And he called yesterday afternoon and said, I've tried to get out and move around and I just can't get it done. So he said, I'm going to have to ask you to fill in tomorrow because I'm not going to be able to do it. So if you will, be sure that you keep him in your prayers. He's been to the doctor and had some tests run. They've not found anything as of yet, but he is in some pain and is awfully weak and struggling to go. So, with that in mind, this morning we want to look a few minutes at God's Word, and we pray that God will bless our efforts and that he will speak to us in a way that will help us to be more pleasing to him. At this time, Brian, would you pray for our service this morning? This morning, let's think for just a little bit about, let's say, Eve and the second Eve. The second Eve. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis chapter 2. We will begin reading at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, or freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Thank you. You may be seated. Scripture is interesting when you, in lots and lots of ways, but in Scripture, we find that God will reveal certain things. There'll be several things, but then he will zero in on one particular part and follow that to a point and then zero in again. For example, you have Abraham, and we have the descendants of Abraham. We come down, though, but we focus in on Jacob, and we focus in on David, and we focus in on, at different points, we've changed the focus. But it all is designed to lead up to Christ. Everything leads to Christ. When we look in the scripture, in Genesis chapter 1, we find that it says, "And in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And it tells us the earth was without form and void. And then he begins to break that down. And he talks about, let there be light. And we have the day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, and day six. The creation. Not a whole lot of detail, but just basic things that he was doing. Then in chapter 2, we come to the point where it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made." And then it says that God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, and again, that he rested. Then we come to verse 4. In the King James, it says, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth." So now he's going to get a little more in detail. You see, he talked about all the animals and the fish and all the things, but now he's going to zero in on man. Of all the things that was created, the focus is going to go to man. In the King James, it says, "These are the generations." Some of you, and if you have different translations, it may say, "This is the record." Some of you may have a Bible, a translation that says, "This is the history." If you have the contemporary English version, I kind of like it sometimes. It gets real simple and to the point. Contemporary English version simply says, "That's how God created the heaven and the earth." Bam. That's how he did it. Then it starts to talk about God formed man. And then he planted a garden eastward of Eden. So here man and oh, here's the garden. And then we come down to verse 15 where we began reading. And it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him into the garden." Now, he didn't just put him there for no purpose. There was a purpose. It says to dress it and to keep it. Adam was created. At his creation, he had not sinned. He had no ancestry that had sinned. He was innocent. But God made him responsible. He was responsible for caring for the garden. He also was to glorify God. He was also, we find that as we read there, that God commanded the man. He gave him some instructions. So Adam was to obey. He had some things he was supposed to do and not do. He was to serve. He was to take care of the garden. And he was to be subject unto God. Those were things that existed where Adam was concerned. That's how he was supposed to behave. As we look on into the scripture, we see that God looked at the situation and he says that it was not good for the man to be alone. So as he goes through this process, in the King James it talks about a helpmeet. It says, I will make him an helpmeet for him. If you read nearly all the other translations, we'll say a helper, a helper. And they'll even take a little different approach to how they say it. You know, I used to wonder about this helpmeet. But if you look at some of the other translations in the English Standard, it says a helper fit for him. A helper fit for him. In the Christian Standard Bible, it says a helper corresponding to him. In the NIV, it says suitable for him. The New King James says comparable to him. A helper comparable to him. I find that in today's world, a lot of times people don't understand the concept of help. Most everybody wants to do. It's hard to get somebody to help you. You know, if I'm on a ladder and I want somebody to help me and hand me a hammer, hand me a screwdriver so that I don't have to climb up and down the ladder, that's helping. Most time people say, oh, I'm not doing anything. No, you may feel that way, but a helper is not designed to do, but to help, be a helper. So God said that Adam needed a helper, someone that was fit for him, someone that was corresponding to him, suitable. Comparable. So he goes through this process of looking at all the things God had created, and there was nothing that was suitable. So, verse 21 says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now, I might say here, Adam was created. No mother, no father. Adam was created. Eve, we might say that she was an indirect creation. God didn't just take the dust of the earth and form Eve. He took something from Adam and formed Eve. For a purpose, and that was to be a suitable helper. Now, what was Adam supposed to be doing? He was supposed to be tending the garden. He was supposed to be obeying God. He was responsible. Those were the things that were supposed to be taking place. So he forms the woman. And Adam says in verse 23, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Then if we turn on over into chapter 3, we find there the serpent and all the things that took place there, and I won't go over that, but we have the fall, disobedience to God. And a lot of people want to blame Eve. But you know, when I read the scripture, I don't find anywhere where God told Eve. He told Adam. He told Adam not to eat. Now, Eve knew about it. I suppose maybe Adam told her. But God told Adam. Eve was deceived. But Adam chose to disobey. And therefore, God pronounced a curse. We find there in chapter 3. And we come down to verse 20, and it said, Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now, where am I going with all this? We have a fallen race. God looked upon this fallen race, and we find in John 3:16 that God says, or the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we find that God, all through the Old Testament, is pointing to the time when Jesus would come on the scene. Now, Jesus, how did he get here? Was he created? No. Jesus was from the beginning. He was always there. He wasn't created. He was not a direct creation. He was not an indirect creation. Jesus was virgin born. Scripture tells us that through the seed of man, you see, is where sin travels, the seed of Adam. So you and I are born into this world because we have a mother and a father. And through our father, we get a sin nature. We're born in sin. God changed things when Jesus was born. In Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35, we find it says, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So Jesus comes into the world, virgin born. Now those three are all special situations. Every one of us, we're not direct creations. We're not indirect creations. We're not virgin born. Every one of us come into this world through the seed of Adam. We are born into sin. I need a Savior. You need a Savior. Absolutely, from the very start. So God sends Jesus. We oftentimes talk about, and the scripture refers to Jesus as the second Adam. The second Adam. Why did he come? What was his purpose? Adam had a purpose. He was to tend the garden. He was to be responsible. He was to obey. He was to serve. What was Jesus' purpose? Well, in John chapter 12 at verse 46, we find that Jesus says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So Jesus came to bring light to the world. Matthew chapter 9 at verse 13, it says, "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Why was Jesus here? To deal with the fall, to deal with the curse, to take care of that sin nature that you and I were born with. Jesus comes into the world to call sinners, that's me, to repentance. I recognize that and I claim that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 at verse 15, Scripture says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Then in chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And we can go on and on with scriptures where Jesus says why he came. And as we look at all of those different scriptures and consider the reason Jesus came, those are things that were God expected of him to perform and to do. A lot of times we think that, you know, everything's all peaches and cream with the church. But Jesus also said that he was come for judgment. He also said that he was come to create division. We are a world that is divided. You and I as Christians need to understand that, and we need to take a stand for Jesus where he is. But with all that in mind, what about Eve? Why was Eve created to be the helper for Adam? How was Eve brought into the world? Adam went into a deep sleep, and the opening of the side and the taking of the rib. As I read in Scripture, Jesus says in Matthew that he will build his church. What is the church? What is the church? We are to be the bride of Christ. There's going to be a marriage. There's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. All of those things. But when we look in John chapter 19, let me turn there, John chapter 19. We find in verse 32, says, "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came out blood and water." You know, when did the church start? Not before Jesus was crucified. The church is to be the bride of Christ. The bride of Adam came from his side. Here we see Jesus on the cross, and his side is pierced, and the blood comes out, which allows for you and I to have forgiveness for sin, that we might become the children of God. It also makes us a part of the family of God, the church of God, when that blood is applied to us. With a piercing of his side. So, what is the church? What is our function? Are we to be the helper for Jesus in this world? Is that what we're supposed to be about? Are we supposed to be helping Jesus accomplish his purpose? Not doing it. God does it. Remember, Eve was not supposed to be the doer. She was to be the helper. What about the church? Are we the doer or are we the helper? As we think about our churches in today's world, not just Calvary, but in churches in general, are we being the helper for Jesus that we should be? Are we accomplishing those purposes that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness? Are we spreading the word so that people might believe? Are we calling the sinners to repentance? What are we doing? Are we helping with Christ's purpose? This morning, as we come, this is going to be short because we've got the Lord's Supper. But I want to think about that. Jesus never pursued someone to make a decision for him. When someone would come to him, the rich young ruler said, "What must I do to be saved?" Jesus says, "You must be born again." And then the situation where he tells the one, "Go and sell all that you have." What does the Bible say? It says the rich young ruler went away sad, because he had great possessions. Did Jesus say, wait a minute, let's talk some more? No, he let him go. It's our responsibility to share the word. It's our responsibility to give the opportunity. But we're not supposed to try to talk people into it. We're to be the helper. Salvation is God's business. God handles that. But we are to pass the word along. We are to help people see the light. Yes, there'll be division. There's people who want to live in lifestyles that are not pleasing to God. You and I can't say, well, that's okay, because it's not. Jesus said, "I came create division." Sometimes there has to be division, but we need to take that firm stand for Christ. We need to stand for what's right. So this morning, as we come, I would encourage each of us, I include myself, to be thinking about how God would have us to be helping. What do we need to be doing? I know that we've been seeking here as a church to find some things that we can do. And today we're going to be reaching out to the community with a back to school activity. I think we ought to all try to participate. Try to make that a success. To share the word. To make it available to people. So this morning, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, I would encourage you to make that decision. I'm not going to beg you. Jesus didn't beg anybody. You know what God's telling you? You either do it or you don't. You reject it. If you know Jesus as your Savior, but yet you've not been serving, not been helping, maybe it's time to step up and help. Be a helper. Share the word. Spread the gospel. Tell people about Jesus. If either of those situations are appropriate to you, we would encourage you to make that public. Then in addition to that, I wanted to say, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul is writing to the church at Corinth concerning the Lord's Supper, he says, examine yourselves before you partake of the Lord's Supper. Don't come to the table with things that are not right with you and God or with you and your neighbor. I know that we all have issues in our lives, but before we take the Lord's Supper this morning, I want to give everybody an opportunity to get in touch with God about what you need to do to come to the table worthy. Because Paul says that it's a dangerous thing to partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily. So Ken and Crystal, if you come, let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we look at your word, Father, help us to understand how you would have us to help. Help us, Father, to be the bride that you would have us to be. Father, I pray that you would deal with each of our hearts. Help us to make the decisions that need to be made in our lives. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.